From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues his series of messages on the subject of prayer, focusing especially on the Lord's Prayer. For a number of broadcasts now, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the third petition in the prayer, Thy Will Be Done. This is a many-faceted request involving trusting submission to God in the assurance that His way is perfect. As Dr. Cairns continues this theme, we'll see that praying, Thy will be done, implies obedience to God's will as He has revealed it in His Word. We must make this petition our own personal desire that God's will be done in me. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to encouraging words from Faith's Checkbook, a devotional collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's selection is entitled, The Divine Light in Darkness. The text is Psalm 18 and verse 28. For Thou wilt light my candle. It may be that my soul sits in darkness, and if this be of a spiritual kind, no human power can bring me light. Blessed be God, He can enlighten my darkness, and at once light my candle. Even though I may be surrounded by a darkness which may be felt, yet He can break the gloom and immediately make it bright around me. The mercy is that if He lights the candle, none can blow it out, neither will it go out for lack of substance, nor burn out of itself through the lapse of hours. The lights which the Lord kindled in the beginning are shining still. The Lord's lamps may need trimming, but He does not put them out. Let me then, like the nightingale, sing in the dark. Expectation shall furnish me with music, and hope shall pitch the tune. Soon I shall rejoice in a candle of God's lighting. Oh, I'm dull and dreary just now. Perhaps it is the weather, or bodily weakness, or the surprise of a sudden trouble. But whatever has made the darkness, it is God alone who will bring the light. My eyes are unto Him alone. I shall soon have the candles of the Lord shining about me, and further on in His own good time, I shall be where they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Hallelujah!
I'll trust Him too.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the free literature we offer on the program. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The theme of the current issue is the subject of temptation. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church discuss such issues as how to recognize the temptation to sin, the temptation of Christ, and overcoming temptation. Among other articles of interest in this issue, you'll find a focus on the land of Macedonia, as well as the inspiring testimony of a young man born with cerebral palsy who is a glowing witness for Christ. A copy is available simply for the asking, and we promise that there will be no follow-up letters soliciting funds. For your free copy, just write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
This morning we return to the latter part of verse 10 in Matthew chapter 6 as we continue to think upon the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. The petition we're dealing with at the moment is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, last week I pointed out that this is one of those things that sounds very pious and very good, but it's not altogether easy to nail down exactly what you mean when you say it. And when you stop to ponder, what exactly do we mean when we say, "Thy will be done"? What exactly do we mean? We have to understand that the will of God basically has two great meanings in Scripture. One is His decree, or His purpose, or His providence. And the other is His commandment. When you think of God's will as His decree and purpose, then you pray these words, "Thy will be done," as an expression of submission. We dealt with that last Lord's Day. But when you think of the will of God as His commandment, then the meaning is not merely submission, but it is obedience. And this is what we want to deal with this morning. As we pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we are praying for obedience to the revealed will of our Father. Obedience to His actual commandments. The great Puritan Thomas Manton, summing up the position of this statement or this petition in the Lord's Prayer, coming after the first two petitions, "Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, then Thy will be done." Manton said, "We may judge our respect to His name and kingdom by our obedience to His will, without which we neither sanctify His name nor submit to His kingdom." That will become, I trust, this morning very plain as we consider what the child of God prays for, or should pray for, when he utters these words. I think the lesson here is very simple, but is very far-reaching. And that is that every child of God should pray for four kinds of obedience to the revealed will of our Father. First and foremost, we should pray for personal obedience. "Thy will be done on earth" is a very far-reaching, a very encompassing sort of petition. "Thy will be done on earth." But you know, you can't pray these great generalities of Scripture unless you first bring them down to a personal particularity. In other words, you can't pray, "Lord, let Your will be done in the whole world," unless you start with you as a microcosm, unless you start with you and say, "Thy will be done in me." It is utterly, thoroughly hypocritical to pray, "Thy will be done in the world," if you're not willing that the will of God be done in you. So this is personal obedience that we're praying for. We're praying, "Lord, let Your will be done in me as it is done in heaven." You will see immediately that obedience is the very essence of all true religion. Christianity, let me remind you, is not a philosophy. Philosophy is always and only of human origin. Philosophy is always and only the product of the searching mind of uninspired man. Christianity is not a philosophy. Philosophy may, or of course it may not, and as I read a little of its history, I'm bound to the conclusion that for the most part the world would have been better without it. It sheds more darkness than light. But that's by the way, we better not get off into that one. Christianity, unlike philosophy, does not merely inform the mind. Philosophy may inform the mind, or it may not. But having informed the mind, it's done its job. Christianity is not even a system of belief merely. All the doctrines of Scripture are important. And it has been my labor over many years to emphasize that theology is the basis of practice. But let me turn that around and remind you this morning that the gospel and the great revelation of God is not merely a matter, believe this in your head and then live as if it never existed. The truth of the gospel demands action. The entire essence of this revelation as it's personally experienced is seen in our obedience. The man who says, I believe, but does not obey God as the general rule of his life, that man is living in unbelief as well as in disobedience. It is impossible that true faith should produce anything but true obedience. It is impossible to have faith in God and His Christ as the governing principle of your life and not have obedience as the most outstanding mark of your whole manner of living. Obedience to God is the essence of all true religion. That's why James said, you say, I have faith. He says, I will show you. Notice the difference between profession and proof. I will show you my faith by my works. He was not depending on his works to get him to heaven. He knew better than that. But he knew that the faith that he said was faith, was true faith, because it created within him a heart to obey God. You remember that back in Old Testament times, when the Israelites professed to Moses that they were willing to do the whole will of God, they welcomed the law of God, the Lord's response was, not, oh, isn't it wonderful to hear that testimony? That's what our response would have been. We'd have had a special public altar call and people would have been trooping up and we'd have all been going home saying, isn't it wonderful? All those people said they wanted to welcome and obey the law of God. But that wasn't the Lord's response. The Lord's response was, oh, that there were such a heart in them to do these things. Oh, that they would obey me. This is the essence of all true religion. As 1 Samuel 15:22 puts it, in the words of Samuel to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Not only is this the essence of true religion, but it's the truest expression of our relationship with our Father. The gospel tells us, now are we the sons of God. What a wonderful statement. Now are we, who once were enemies of God and children of wrath even as others, now are we the sons of God. By the saving grace of our God, on the merits of His own dear Son, we are the sons of God. But, while John emphasizes that, He goes on to tell you how the sons of God should live. And the great thing that he emphasizes is that they actually prove their sonship by their obedience. What is it that marks profession as false or true? What is it? Well, this is one of the great themes of the epistles of John. If we say, that's a recurrent phrase through the epistles of John. And John is marking off true from false profession of sonship. And he's saying what marks off the true from the false is that the false does not have real obedience to God. This is what expresses the relationship of sons to their father. And that's why Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he that hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the true Son of God, is our great example here. He lived, as we read in Hebrews 10 this morning, he lived to obey his Father. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. His whole purpose in coming was to do the will of God. When you look at the life of Christ, what theologians call his active obedience, what was he doing? Obeying the will of God. When you look at the death of Christ, his so-called passive obedience, never really liked that term, to be quite honest. I think it's one of those things where in which theologians have got far too clever for their own good. For Christ was far from passive on the cross, as we understand the word. But in that so-called passive obedience, what was he doing? He was obeying the will of God. The great passion of his life was to do the will of God. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. What does that mean? My meat, my food. The only thing that satisfies, that which sustains in the midst of all the things that were going on around about him. He says, that which satisfies, that which sustains, is to do the will of my Father. The latter part of John 5 and verse 30, he said, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's our example. And that's what the Lord is looking for in every child of his. He's looking for genuine obedience to the will of God. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying this ourselves. Lord, give me a personal obedience, for this is what you want.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.